we've gotten through the Tahara of Para Vizarak Lechemayim Tahorim. We're ready for the Hischadshus of Parshas HaChodesh, because we're hopefully living through the Zmanim and not just hearing about them as history. And Nisan is coming, is the time of Geulas. And we got out of Mitzrayim then, and we're getting out of America at some point too.
Amen.
So the question is, how can we bring it about? What is Mutal Aleinu to bring it about, besides everything that we're always doing? But there's a mindset that's required, which will have implications in everything that we do. It makes a big difference. What does it say they did in Mitzrayim? That was their schus to get out. A lot of things, but one of them is Shaloshinu Shemam Levusham and Lashonam. It's not exactly, this is a medrash that is quoted. It's not exactly clear where this medrash is written, but the message of they kept their names and they kept their dress and the way that they spoke. Like Rosh Tamaritz and Chayesha would say, they kept their metzias as yidden. They didn't let it just disappear, which we're going to speak about. So it was the Alumni Shabbaton this year, and Rabbi David walks into the Shabbos Suda, and he tells me that he was just at three different kiddushes. Okay? So he said something to me in Yiddish. I don't understand, but based on the way he looked, he was not happy about three kiddushes in a row. So I said to him that one of the tzaddikim said, I'm not exactly sure, that in America they know how to make kiddush, but they don't know how to make havdalah. He said, Moiridik! It was like... So as soon as that little altercation happened, I realized that this would be a chash of a zach for the Heilige Torah Shraga alumni, that we know how to make kiddush. Baruch Hashem, we are geshmak to be a yid. We've done that routine. So now we're going to do a little limud of the sugya of Havdalah, Hamavdil. We know Ben Kodesh Lechol, Ben Or Lechoshech. Well, let's be ma'ayin in the sugya of Ben. And Yoni was on the A-train last night. Ben Yisrael La'amin. Oyvei. Okay. Fine. And I'll just give one more horrible hakdama, which is that my very own brother-in-law, who I love very much, was Zocha that this year. So he was by me for Shabbos. So, not my brother-in-law, Yoni. That's why he's laughing. He works in a mostly frum law firm. And a lot of us are in the world of Dimyon, that like, I'm going to do this mahalach and that, and even though it's, you know, the world of the Umos HaOlam, I'm still going to be, you know, like this and like that. So you have to be aware that it's not a simple thing, although not impossible. This is not meant to be discouragement, but at least an awakening to how it is. They have a holiday party at my brother-in-law's law firm of mostly Yidden every year. And they're machabed one person every year in the rotation to dress up as Santa, and it was my brother-in-law this year. And they sent around the picture to the mishpacha. So, Asur, Mutter, you guys will let me know what the rate is. You know, red is b'chlal not a geshmaka color. In Meisharim, they think that it's a rebbe, so maybe you can be mechavin, that you're a rebbe taka, and not the umos olam. But I can tell you that for sure that party was more like the party of Achashverosh than the party of Mordechai. Okay? So, lemaisa, it's fine. Im Kain, so what's going to be with us in the Umos HaOlam? Because we're here. We're not in Sanhedria. You mamish don't have to be goris, you know. You're walking up and down the street. Yidden, yidden, yidden. So, since we're not Zocha, we need a little bit of Hadracha, but something stark. So, Benjamin Forst from Far Rockaway wrote this, The Kosher Kitchen. And when I told him I was learning the Sefer, Yoni Zocher to see him, Mamish looks like a malach, this very forced. He said the hakdamas in the Sefer are very, very important. There's tons and tons of stuff in here. And so this is one of the hakdamas to the section on why did Chazal say don't cook and don't eat from Gayesha cooking, don't eat from Gayesha bread. All these have, you know, obviously qualifications in Eterim and whatever. And the wine... And the milk. What was Chazal trying to accomplish? So we know they were trying to make some sort of richuk bein Yisrael Amim. So Rafor speaks about it a little bit. So first he says, the separatedness of the Jewish nation, and listen closely. Once we understand the unique role of Klal Yisrael vis-a-vis the other nations, we can appreciate the necessity of the separatedness that the Torah imposes upon Klal Yisrael. So he speaks about it like it's a deeper topic in terms of Hashem choosing us and them and whose role and Tzchar and Onesh and, you know, Chassidei Umos Olam. So he says, once you get past all of that, the Torah is very clear about a separation between Yisrael and Amim. Klal Yisrael cannot fulfill its role as the priestly kingdom and a light for the nations unless it is insulated from the other nations. When two nations live together and interrelate, the minority willingly and unwillingly is attracted to the culture of the majority. They dress similarly, speak one language, eat the same foods, and eventually, here's the worst, they think the same. When Jews live amongst non-Jews, they're usually the minority, and through social evolution, they slowly blend into the dominant culture. They become American Jews, or even Jewish Americans, instead of Jews living in America. I think we discussed this one time. Whatever it is, you have to know where the dugish is. When this happens, Jews are unable to serve Hashem properly. They think like Americans rather than like Jews, thus their sense of values is compromised, and they lose sight of their goal and purpose. It is inevitable that their shmiras hamitzvos and moral caliber will suffer as well. Thus, they forfeit their role as the light to the nations, which is something that's abused by a lot. The or legayim is meaning we have to be like them. It's mamish not it, as he explains. They can no longer influence others when they themselves have been affected by foreign values. This is why the Torah insists upon an uncompromising separatedness. We are expected to look different in our dress and in the manner we groom ourselves. As he says at the bottom, the prohibition of cutting Peyos Arosh is so that we not groom ourselves in the manner of the idolaters. Fine. So that's point number one, that we begin to think like the people around us. And it's a natural thing that happens. We can't, you know, we can't avoid it completely, but we have to put up some sort of barrier, which leads into the next section on anti-Semitism. And this is the scary part. The assimilation of Jews into the dominant culture in which they live is damaging to Klal Yisrael's value and to its role in the world. This is on page 252, by the way. Therefore, Hashem created a barrier that is generated whenever Jews become too comfortable in their non-Jewish surroundings. This barrier is anti-Semitism. Whenever we become too close and sociable with our non-Jewish neighbors, they begin to resent and hate us and try to separate from us. Indeed, to the very same degree that we try to bond with them, they drive us away. The more we try to intermingle with them, the more they reject us. They create barriers and force us to be different. They blame us and punish us for every misfortune that befalls them. Perhaps subconsciously, they feel that we are the cause for all their misfortunes, for if we were as we should be, we would have influenced them in a positive manner. They would have become better people and less deserving of any punishment. Perhaps to some degree, they are correct. It says, we are blamed for corrupting Western society through immoral influence in the arts and culture. I didn't really know this. And he says, there is some justification to this. This phenomenon has occurred many times in our history. Whenever Jews spurn the barriers that the Torah established to separate them from the Gentiles themselves created barriers to isolate the Jews. We cannot ignore the fact that the most horrific episode of anti-Semitism, the Holocaust, originated in a country where the overwhelming majority of Jews were completely assimilated. And then he says, to see some places over here, where it's noted that in the year 1380, the Spanish courts passed a law forbidding Jews to use Christian names. Certainly, if Jews kept themselves separate and distinct from their Gentile neighbors, such a law would have been unnecessary. And also, he says, it's interesting to note that one of the anti-Semitic laws passed by Nazi Germany was one requiring that all male Jews be named Israel and all female Jews be named Sarah. Crazy. Scary. So point number one for Forrest is, we can't lose our das. Like the Rambam speaks about in Hilchos Tshuva. And of course, all the maisim of averus we do are chamor, but the most chamor is our das. That's what we have. You know, our most important thing is Yidden. And then he says that if we don't upkeep this Hevdel between us and the Goyim, then unfortunately they will. However, not to come away with the wrong message, and of course just ends it off, he says it should be clear that the purpose of these barriers is not so that we should be unfriendly to our non-Jewish neighbors and acquaintances. We must be sociable and friendly to all people. The Gemara says that Rav Yochanan would stand up to honor an elderly non-Jew, and that Abaye would greet everyone, even a non-Jew he passed in the street. One should greet a non-Jewish neighbor upon meeting him in the street. One should inquire about his health if he was ill, and wish him well when he marries off his children. One should offer help to a non-Jewish neighbor when he is struggling to carry many packages from her car. One should offer one's seat in a crowded train to an elderly non-Jewish man or woman. All of these are matters of basic decency and good manners, not intimate and overly sociable acts. However, under normal circumstances, one should not join a non-Jew in his 4th of July barbecue. This and situations like it are social contacts that are to be avoided. So a perspective that we have to be nivdal, of course respectful, but there has to be a very clear havdalah bin us and the amen. Fine. So practically, I turned on 880 on the way here at 9 o'clock just to test the following what I wrote here today. V'kachava. The news desensitizes a yid. There's a place for it. In fact, my Rebbe Rabbi Finkelman has instructed me that I should listen to the news, but I have not yet been able to have enough amuras chachamim yet to listen to the news, because it's what we can call examples of the gimel averos from all over the world. Like this, shvichas damim. New York City Yashikayach went 12 days without a murder. That is tremendous. Every single other day of the year, you could turn it on, like I did at 9 o'clock, and the first thing on 8:80 at 9 o'clock was how the Ratzicha in cold blood, or whatever other blood you could describe it in, was done, and you know what this person has to say about it, and what this, and to describe these people's lives and what we want to know about them. Nothing at all. That's one. And it's not that we're going to go out and do these things by hearing them, but when we hear about one thing that happens to a yid, we want it to be like shocking, because you know that's not supposed to happen. But when we hear about these types of things all the time, it becomes like another thing on the news. That's why it's so hard to listen to the American news during situations in Eretz Yisrael, because it goes right from the business report to the Ratzicha report to the sports. It's like, one second, we have dargas in terms of life. Like, somebody dying doesn't go between the sports and the business. You know what I mean? There's maybe a separate station about this. The aim of Arasis V'yir of Fachad, to talk about, you know, a person in this world. Not just, oh, did you hear? Like, this is it. And all this, you can take hadracha from wherever you want, just being more than the kudos, that it shouldn't be something that's unsaid. Arayos. Second chelik of the news. Anyone can correct me if I'm wrong. This is Bali Guzma. I mean, it's being said in a way that's like, whatever, but this is guaranteed. If you listen to an hour of the news, I guarantee you every one of these topics. Barichos and be. The Gemara in Ksuvos on Daf Ches Amud Beis defines what nivul peh is. Now, cursing and using bad words is not something that refined people do, but that's not really what nivul peh is. Those are just words that people established as whatever. Nivul peh is what the Gemara says, Hakol Yodim Kala Lama Nichas Tzol Chuppas. Now you guys are learning Ksubis, at some point you learned it. Everyone knows what, you know, what the purpose is here, and we know how the world works, and Hashem created, you know, a Mashicha Ben Ish Le'ishto. But the way that this is discussed, Moshe Wolfson says he used to listen to the news until a certain president came along and was metame the news forever, and he stopped at that point. Because these things became like, you could just talk about it, and what, and who, and whatever. I don't want to be, you know, a hypocrite here by being Megala. I hope I haven't said too much already, but this is not for our ears. Just push it, you know? If I can get, like, right when... Now they, like, stick an ad in between, like, the traffic and the weather and these things, but, like, if I can get it, like, right there, sometimes, like, if I leave it on 3 seconds later, it could be fine. And number three, you're wondering, you haven't heard about any idol worship in the news. Fine, maybe. Maybe you never heard idol worship in a classic sense. Although Rav Yaakov Hillel did say that there are now, it's like now coming back a shtickl, when he spoke in Shasha Shal Shiddis. However, the pasuk says in Parshas Yisro, Lo sasun iti elokei kesef elokei zohav. And one of the tzaddikim, I couldn't find it, it's on Yisro Chaf Chaf, says that people have made gods out of money. And when it comes to who's running this world, we could come to think the person who has the most money or the most power is the one running this world. And we could hear all these things in the news. It's one mikra after another mikra. So if you read a Yiddish Jewish history book, you'll see the Yad of Hashem, and it will describe to you how amazingly the Yid went through this and they went through that. And you know, you look at it from it's a big place for knowing the news and the history and the current events, but not from, like, we cannot allow anybody to dictate the world's events to us without filtration, because they have a very different interpretation of this world than we do. And finally, Kochi Ve'otzem Yadi, that it's all about me. I don't think, you know, anybody's getting on the news and talking about the Siyata Dishmaya that they had in establishing something. You know, the Yeshiva world, at least they're right, like, you know, Baruch Hashem, people weren't hit here and this or whatever. Hopefully they're not just doing it to be Yotzi Zion, but it's mamish, like, you know, Hodah V'Shevach T'Akadosh Baruch Hu. But for us, the news is Hashem runs this world, not B'nai Adam and not Mammon. Fine. So that's out there. But a little bit closer to home, and I'm sorry about the test, but there's an ultimate test also. So. We're preparing for that one. It's a much harder test. Okay. So this is much, whatever, you'll hear. A lot of times things seem very innocent, and they are, in a certain sense, because we have to know where we're holding. Anything we hear in Avodas Hashem, it's, that's not for me, or that is for me, but just not now, or I'm ready to take it now. So wherever this fits into your Avodas Hashem, put it on the nap somewhere. But my son's cheder, the heilige cheder, which teaches him that when he looks at the chanuk and Eir, his eyes become heilig, and when he wears his kapel, his guf becomes heilig, and he thinks his Rebbe's heilig. And it's Siach Yitzchak, which is Shayashev's cheder, and it's Chassidus Rebbeim. He knows way more Yiddish than I do. It's gevaldig. It's like, what do you want for supper? Garnished. So that one I know. So his cheder sent out the following letter. Has anybody here heard of or seen Megillas Lester?
Yeah, last year in Washington.
Okay, fine. Get ready. So you write, L'chvod Horim HaChashuvim Adnei Ve'eshrim Shana. I would like to bring something to your attention. There is a cartoon video movie that is circulating called Megillas Lester. And this happens all the time in Eretz Yisrael. They post everything they think, you know, the Tov L'Mutav all over the walls. This is the first time I got something like this in America. Although it could possibly be called entertaining and humorous for children, both Rabbi love it, I'm not sure that it is, and I have reviewed it and feel it's inappropriate to show to Yiddish kinder. It emphasizes evil and distorts the entire Kedusha of not only Megillas Esther, but of the entire Kedusha Seyom of Purim. The video disgraces the sanctity of our Yom Tif. I would also be wary of any Torah-based cartoon videos. Signed by the Menahel of the Cheder. Meaning, Not that we can't have any outlets, and like, certainly, like, I didn't mention anything obvious that's going on outside, which we face even more often, because that's in our faces, but even things that seep into our das that we wouldn't even know, like, we got this Purim book, came from like a secular source, and it had like this whole like story about Purim, it had nothing to do with Purim. So if we're trying to raise Yiddish kinder and Yiddish doros, Altaris HaKodesh, carrying the banner of Yiddishkeit that Moshe Rabbeinu got at Har Sinai, and that we are going to hand off to Mashiach when he brings us to Yerushalayim. So if Mashiach comes to our kids and says, what's Purim about? And you start describing to him, one were to start describing to him Megillas Lester, it's going to be an embarrassment. Like, this is what, you know, he says here from a tzaddik, it's kedai all the tzaros we endured in this world for the sake of experiencing one Purim and one Kriyas HaMegillah. These are heilige zachin which have been diluted, and diluted to the point where we have to kill, defend Yiddishkeit for what it was designed as, the Moshe Rabbeinu version of Yiddishkeit in this world. And it's very difficult. And we might not be able to upkeep it every second, but at least to have the musagim. And every day when we say, Shalom Asani Goy, and Lo Asanu Goy Arotzos, and Hivdilonu Min HaTorim, so you have to realize that our exalted mission in this world is not to develop this world. The Mitzrim wanted to be buried and mummified because their guf was the end of the story, and that was it. And there's people in America who want to be buried in their cars because that's it. We look at this world as a 70 to 120 year experience, which is Hachana Betraklin, Hachana Beprazdor, Kadesha Tikanis, the Traklin, Lenetzach Netzachim, to be Ma'aneg al Ziv Ashchina. We have so many big goals of developing our chelik in the next world. Like Rav Yaakov Moshe Katz once said, Kol Yisrael Yishlem Chelik Olam Abba. I think he said from the Sefer Ikrim, everyone has a chelik. That means you have a plot. You can get there and there's nothing built on it. It's like an empty spot of land, Olam Haba. Whatever that means. We're building, we're developing, we are cutting edge. Like Rav Eichmann has said about Yiddishkeit, cutting edge Yiddishkeit. We're doing everything we can to enhance Avodas Hashem. And we'll end with the Sod V'Shorosh HaAvoda. Just, if practically the only thing we could take is as we say the bracha of Shalom Asani Goy every morning, what we should think. He says, Ve'eich lo yiv'ar lev ha'adam mamish ke'esh bo'era. We should be on fire, totally. B'berachaso bracha zu, meaning he's talking about Shalom Asani Goy, that we're not from Umos Olam. Merov ha'ched v'asimcha, we're so happy. V'yitein shelach v'ardei atzumim achshtavto al zel Hashem yisal mitoch umka, deliver from the depths of our heart. Al shabachar oso b'chelko, Hashem chose every single one of us for His portion. I want you and you, every single yid. U'v'gorol ha'kadosh ba'am kadosh Yisraeli, in the helig shebehelig, l'hidavek belokuso, to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, malchuso, and to kingdom, adnuso, and His master, yisal v'shem v'zichrad. So, just to chazer the inyanim before we finish, we want to get out of this galus. The Mitzrayim, they held on to their metzias as yidin, and eventually we become to think like the Umos HaOlam, which is something we don't want to let. They could take everything around us from us, but not our das. And we've seen that there's a clash when we get too close to them. Well. What our hashkafos are should be determined by us, and everything seeps in from the sviva. So whatever we listen to, whether it be from the outside world, whether it's from the inside world, we have to always keep in mind and give shevach to Hashem asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim. And we should be zocha v'nisan asidin ligal mischus of this chabura.
Is there a bottle of Miguel Sachs? I should see it.